Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him left to 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. First of all, I want to thank all of you who are listening online. I want to thank all of you who may call in during the broadcast. If you are listening online, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Excuse me. And tonight I will be doing a part two. I don't know if the same panel will be on tonight, but I am. I have invited a few people to call in and be on panel. And like I say, if you are listening online, feel free to call in and contribute your thoughts. And comments are always welcome. I want to thank my Activate Radio, ActivateMedia.org family out of Boston, Massachusetts, who will get this show broadcast to them on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. That is Activate Radio, ActivateMedia.org. I have listened to the station several times, very informative station. Glad to be part of that platform and that family as well. Also want to thank my family that's listening in Israel, Nigeria, India, Germany, Canada, and here in the United States. If it wasn't for you all, you know, I wouldn't be doing this the way I do. I am going to be changing platforms. I made that announcement like at the beginning of the month and decided to go ahead and ride another month here. And I may just be converting over to doing lives. And until I get on this new platform, I did speak with the sister, and she is definitely working to get it set up. It's an app, actually, and you can go to your Apple App Store and or your Android App Store. And the app is the N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, M as in Mary, S as in Sam.com. TheNTMS.com. And if you go to your Apple or Android stores, you can download that app. And from what I understand, we will be doing those in video format. I'm excited about that opportunity as well, and helping the sister get the platform up and running and being a contributor of information to it. Just what I like to do. I like to keep the people informed, and also just trying to motivate us to just get our minds right, because like I say, everything that we do does not require us being boots on the ground, being out protesting and marching. There's a lot of things that we can get accomplished and should be getting accomplished without having to be always out in the streets. First thing we need to start doing, honestly, is unifying ourselves, you know, and making ourselves a more stronger unit collectively, and get on the same accord and start eliminating problems within and without. But that's a whole nother show. Because tonight, like I said, is going to be a part two from last Thursday night's show, where I had a nice panel. My sister Kia, she always brings some fire, and she always says something to make me think, and that's what I truly appreciate and love about that sister. She's a younger lady, but she is wise beyond her years, and I appreciate her. I always appreciate her her thoughts and her opinion. When I look on the board, and it takes me a minute to kind of register the numbers that call in, but whenever I look on the board and I see her number, I get excited because, like I say, for a young lady, she's very well-rounded, and she always says something that makes me think even deeper. Also had Sister Kim, Jay, and Sister Queenie Solomon on the call on last Thursday, along with my brother Mark. And I enjoyed the conversation, very lively conversation. We covered two of the subjects because what I wanted, and when I say weaponizing our children, a lot of people in their closed-mindedness were thinking that I was talking about literally weaponizing our children, even though in the title I clearly stated mentally, spiritually, and yes, physically. And I just find those 3 points to be necessary. And then to, once we really started getting into the discussion on last week, I believe it might have been Brother Mark that said that the mental and the spiritual aspect of it are somewhat intertwined, which I do agree. And we talked about, you know, within those two aspects, the mental and spiritual aspects being intertwined, we talked about, you know, the discipline that is needed, you know, the discipline that is required. And I don't care whose child it is, or, you know, my child, every child needs discipline. That's just like, you know, when you get a new puppy and you train him, and when he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you discipline him. When he does what he's supposed to do, you reward them, much like how we raise our children, not comparing our children to dogs, but just in comparison of the discipline that is required. And that same discipline, and I can remember being young and my grandmother or my mother, but my grandmother being the belt wielder, and there was a little brown belt, was about maybe a quarter of an inch thick. About a quarter of an inch thick, maybe, and about an inch to an inch and a half, about an inch and a half wide. But I swear that belt was like it was 8 feet long, because you could take off running, and before you got two steps, you'd be done rich out with that belt and grabbed you. Discipline, which what I was going to say is really another means and of respect. Discipline is simply means respect. You're not. I used to think that I was scared of my grandmother, but no, I just respected my grandmother's presence because I knew what and what not to do, what and what not to say when my grandmother was in earshot, when my grandmother was close by, because I knew that the consequences of any unnecessary action was going to be disciplined. And we touched on that on Thursday's show because that, too, is part of it, you know. And it's not about beating your children, but it is about discipline, not no time out. And there were times when I didn't whip my children. There are times when you can take from a child something that they love, or if they're in sports or whatever. You know, discipline can come in many different shapes and forms, and that is another way that we weaponize our children, by giving them discipline. Like I say, and discipline is really just respect for those who you know you can't play with. basically. That's what it is, you know, and I knew, you know, back then, I was a 69 born baby, so I saw the 70s, you know, 80s. So I saw some decades pass now, yeah, discipline was always on the table. You know, discipline was the way of control, and that is what is not a harsh control, but a control where your child does not go out on the block toting guns and shooting up his peers, you know, and we don't have that for the most part, where our children go out and perpetrate those mass types of crimes, but they do perpetrate those same types of crimes within our neighborhood, which is something else that needs to stop. And weaponizing them mentally, giving them other alternatives. And we touched also, we spoke on how, and this is a point too that I just always make whenever I'm talking to people, and they ask about our youth and how do we reach them, and we really just have to take the time out. Just like I can understand how our elders felt with us, especially when rap music came out and we, you know, listening to all this loud bumpity bump, the thump, you know, the bass, the boom, the 808 drum kicking. And we rapping and rhyming to the beat, and they don't understand. And that's just noise to them, you know. And you know, different generations look at things differently. But we have to maintain that connection. Regardless, we can't just throw them away like we've been doing. And that was the point that Sister Kia laid on the table last week. And like I say, I hope she calls in tonight to drop a jewel, because I just appreciate her opinion. And then, too, I just appreciate the strong female mind, period. I appreciate the queen's opinions, because we need their opinions as men to keep our balance, to keep us not soft, but to keep us moderate, to keep us in check. That's what it is, and I'm just going to be real about it. Yeah, to keep us in check, because the man is the muscle, is the power, is going to be on the rah-rah, let's go kick those, let's go, let's go. The female mentality may be the same, but in a different manner. As opposed to the male aggression. So we need each other for that balance. That is another way that we weaponize our children as well. They see strong relationships, and they see a black man loving his wife, taking care and protecting his wife, providing for the family, leading in a proper way. Not saying, and when I say lead, I'm not saying that the man's going to suppose it, because it takes two of us. It takes two of us participating in this to keep that balance a drip, you know, because when one of us fails or lacks, the other one should be able to pick that up, and then there should be no questions, there should be no disagreements, because we all have our bad days. We have to learn how to understand one another out here, and our children seeing strong, productive relationships is another way to mentally weaponize them. And then like you know, I was fixing to say, my sister Kid just made a very valid point last week. She threw it out on the table, because it is us, and when I say us, it is me included, because I do try to reach out to some, but then sometimes my time is always consumed. But then there are times when I do have the spare time, and I like to sit around and I like to talk to the younger generation, because it's important that we start showing them. And like Sister Kia said last week, it is us that are failing them. Because think back, like I say, I'm a 69 born baby, and I can remember through the 70s and even in the 80s before the crack epidemic really hit hard, but how tight-knit the black family, just the black experience was, and how correlated it was nationwide. I mean, and still I travel. I'm a truck driver, so, you know, I've been in all these raggedy-ass states across this country. But the one thing that I notice is that we as black people are still correlated in the ways that we live, the ways that we behave nationally. We need to put more of an effort into rejuvenating our culture, because that is what has happened. Our culture, we have allowed our culture to fade away. We've allowed our culture to become distant from us, and everybody else is picking up on our culture now. Like, you know, often I use this quote from the great Paul Mooney, rest his soul, when he done the little skit on the Chappelle Show, and he said, you know, everybody want to be a nigger till it's time to be a nigger. And I say that a lot. It's funny, but it's so much truth to that. There was a video floating around a few months, years back, with Jane Elliott, and she asked an audience of predominantly white people, how many of you would want to change places with a black person? Nobody raised a hand. So she asked the question again, and once again, nobody raised a hand. So, like she said, that lets her know that, yeah, nobody wants to live the black experience. I told a white nationalist once on my show, on this show right here, he said that he didn't want to become the minority, nor did he want his children growing up minorities. And like I told him, I said, see, that is y'all's problem. Y'all are so fearful of situations y'all have created, and thinking that that y'all, once the tide has turned, and y'all are going to be treated like we were. And like I told him, that I don't feel sorry for him, first off, and I don't understand their argument with the government, secondly, because the government, this government, this system was built for them to thrive in. And that's why I told them, I don't feel sorry for you, and you can't thrive in a system that was built for you. It's something wrong with you, you know. Like I told them, it builds morals, character. And that's why we're such a stronger people. And see, that those are the things that we need to give, make sure that we're giving back to our children, so that they can have integrity, and so that they won't just fall for the money trick that they play, because that's how they get us back corralled, back in under control, because it is the same thing as slavery. You're bought, you're paid for, you're going to do this, that, and this, the way I say it, or I'll take the millions, or whatever it is, you know. That's why I'm not really big on the entertainers. I'm not big on our kids being athletes and singers and all that. We already know we're more physically superior. We already know we can out-sing them, we can out-dance them. We already know that we can entertain. That's all we've been allowed to do. And I don't want one of my children said something about, I want to be in the NBA or a singer or something. Nah, what about a doctor or a lawyer or something where you can, you know, like my great-granddaddy used to tell me, get it up here in your head, Nunu, because when you get it up here, can't nobody take it. So I still live by that standard, and I like researching. I like reading. I like knowing what's going on. I like listening to BBC News and NPR News. Those are really the only news sources that I trust because they're unbiased and they're supported by the public. So they don't really take money from all these big box corporations like most of these media stations are attached to. So I kind of trust their news more than the mainstream, avenues that we get it from now. And those, like I say, are just, you know, a couple of the, tonight I want to really get off into the physical aspect of weaponizing our children. Like I say, last week we touched on those two, mental and spiritual. And like I say, we had a good conversation. We just couldn't really get it all in to 2 hours. And then there were some people that I had invited last week that were not able to, and I figured, well, yeah, I can do the part two so that they'll have an opportunity as well to call in and then, you know, touch on the ones that we touched on last week as well as the one for tonight. And when I say physical, I'm not talking about being physically aggressive because, like I just said, look, when it comes to physicality, look, I'm just going to be real. When it comes to mentality, physicality, the black man and the black woman is far superior than all races. I've said that before without biting my tongue, so I just want to make sure that I repeated that so we could know that. And see, these are the things, too, that we need to enforce and reinforce into our children to let them know that they're not just Pookie and Ray Ray that the world and this system says they are. See, we more than our kids out here getting murdered, and they only giving these punk ass cops a year and a half because this murdering punk ass gang affiliated cop, Kim Porter, she's fixing to do about a year and a half. And then she'll get out on probation. And see, that's what I was talking about a few weeks ago on my show about these punk-ass cops doing what they doing to our kids. And it's really now pissing me off. And then I had saw on one of the Queen's pages, and I didn't even know about that. The particular shooting that had happened up in Philadelphia with the little 8-year-old girl. Belility was her last name. I can't remember her first name, but I saw that on one of the Queen's pages. And when I was getting this show together, well, a show a couple of weeks ago together, and I used how they don't look at our children, as 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds or whatever they may be. They look at our children as animals, as an enemy, as something to be hunted and killed. Like I said, that particular show, don't forget, they used to take our kids, they used to walk through neighborhoods in Florida and snatch little black babies and take them out in them swamps so they could try to catch the big bull alligator. So that's how much regard they've had for our lives and our children's lives. So, yeah, it is bad. It is necessary that our children be weaponized mentally, spiritually, and physically because they are targets because of so many reasons, like because of our superiority. I don't know if you all believe it or not, but the organ harvesting thing is a real thing. And all the number of female black that are abducted, come up missing every year is damn near the same every year. And that's why I advise people not to put that damned organ donation thing on your driver's license. No, don't do that. That puts a target on you. And if somebody rich and white need Joe Blood type, yo, what was that Rockefeller man that was walking around here looking like death, that had 7, 8, 9 damn heart, black hearts put in his chest? Anyway, I digress. That, though, is reasons why we need to give our children, like I say, the truth of the matter, have them ready mentally. And like we expressed last week, having them ready mentally will ensure that they're not controlled, because that is why they work so hard to get the mind, by indoctrinating them through this educational system. And I said a couple of weeks ago, yeah, they can give us reparations. They just don't. They overlook what they could do because they don't want to do nothing. But they don't mind giving other people monies and land to build in our communities. And, you know, when they get that money, look where they put their stores, in our communities, because they know we're going to spend. And then when one of us puts a shop in our communities, we won't even break bread with them. But when Habib and them come and put a shop in, we breaking bread with them. I don't understand some of the things that we do. And like I say, we've got to reprogram our children to not behave like we're behaving. They need to do the opposite of what the majority of us are doing. You know, and if there's a saying, what it goes, don't do as I do as I say. And I think, you know, the older that I've got, I think that's one of the dumbest things that a grown-up can say to a child, because a child is watching you. Damn what you say, he's watching you. He sees what you do. So you don't think that piques his curiosity to try it, whether it's good or bad? And that's why I say we have to be examples and watch what we do in front of our children. And then we have to reconnect with them and give them the truth of who they are so they can have self-pride. Because I think that is truly another thing that is lacking. And then, like the point that was brought up, they're desensitized to violence. Video games, music, TV, I mean, hell, social media. You see more now on social media. It's just like the key to the world, and that's what it is, literally. And now they have access to that, and that's why I say it's vital that we build things that they can see, that they can grab hold of. And because we were the listening generation, we had no choice but to listen, because we didn't have internet and all that stuff, you know. And so every generation, we have to adjust in order to keep them in line. It's not up to them to adjust. It's up to us to adjust to relate to them, because they need our knowledge. They need our guidance. Why we become elders. We supposed to get older and wiser and stop doing dumb shit and be examples. And I use this because I said this a few shows back. How can we guide the children when we out here trying to do the same shit they doing? I see more of us now TikToking and Instagramming and making what is the thing, reels. I've seen women my age and slightly older that, you know, I'm going to be honest, yeah, have nice physiques and everything still, gray hair and all, but still bending all over TikTok and trying to do dances and shaking your ass. No, we have to be an example at some point in time. And that's why I feel like sometimes the young people do not respect us, because some of us are still out here trying to live that 30-year-old lifestyle. No, 50 ain't the new 30, and 50 won't ever be the new 30. 60 won't ever be the new 40. 60 gonna be 60. 50 gonna be 50. And believe you me, I'm 52 right now, and 52 is damn show 52. It ain't the new 40, because I don't feel like no new 40. I feel like I'm 50 damn 2 years old. So we have to start behaving as such. That's where the wisdom comes in. That's where I can't guide nobody if I'm still out here clubbing and trying to do the latest dances with them. How can I get them in my lane if I'm doing they thing? So a lot of things we have to fall back on, and we have to become the leader of, so we can be examples, and we need to be leaders of our children, period. That's what we need to be leaders of. Those are the most precious things that we possess. And I see, I'm just, my computer is just now lighting back up. I do have my guest that I wanted last week. She's listening now. I'm just rambling doing my little opening commentary, but I'm going to take a quick break and I have a couple of more callers on, but as well. But yeah, I'm through rambling on my little old opening commentary, and I'm going to take a quick break now. And if any one of these callers want to get in, they can press the one and we can get some dialogue going, because really that's what the platform should be about, building dialogue. And like I always say, I don't care what group you with. I've conversed with brothers from, you know, all different groups, brothers and sisters from Hebrew Israelites to Muslims to Huey P. Newton Gun Club members, Gorilla Mainframe, and all that. The names don't matter. I've said this millions of times. All them names and stuff, you know, don't matter. I'm about black first, period. I don't really, if you honestly, the organization should not come before the people. And that's where we also fail. The organization should be functional, yes, and should be ran properly, but it should not be priority over the people. And a lot of some of these organizations, not the organizations itself, it's just some of the people in the positions who let their ego grab a hold and don't really continue to do what's best for the people as a whole. It becomes more about self and do what I say. And we can't really, yeah, we need the discipline, and we, yes, need to be on code collectively, but we all need to treat each other as equals as well. No one person is bigger than this movement, and time has shown us that. History has shown us that, because when they get tired of our leaders, they can have them killed and taken right on out of the way, out of the picture, where they don't have to worry about them anymore. So that's why I say we all need to practice being leaders, especially to our children and to one another, because we've all got a skill set and something to contribute. Want to get off into this, and like I say, I'm going to take a break and see if any of these callers want to get involved. I want to thank everybody, like I say, from overseas who always call in, from the Boston Mass, activatemedia.org family, for listening. I'm going to take a quick break. If you are listening online right now and would like to call in and be part of the dialogue, questions, comments, whatever's on your mind, this is the time to do it. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, it's 914-205-5538. And this is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr., and I'm going to take about maybe a 3.5 minute break, I think. And then we're going to, I'll come back and we'll get off into the physical aspect of weaponizing our children. And I know that a lot of people listening has probably got, you know, oh, what is he going to say? But it's not going to be what you think. I'm going to touch on every physical aspect, but it's not going to be what you think. So stay tuned. And like I said, I'm going to take a quick break and come back and get off into this conversation.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head, blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal, drag the animal back to the cave, and the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones ooga. Einstein language and all kind of stuff. You can always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman. Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talk about the goddamn white man.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. That is my brother. I bet y'all get sick of hearing that clip, but that's just one of my favorite clips. one of few by Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who was unfortunately another one of our leaders who was was taken out of the picture. I want to welcome everybody back. Thank you all for hanging around. And to my callers who are on board with me here, if you want to jump in whenever you feel like jumping in, commenting, just hit the one so I'll know that you're ready to speak, and I'll open up your mic and we can start a dialogue. But I will keep the discussion rolling right now. I kind of recapped the first 40 minutes of the show. I didn't mean to go that long either, but the first 40 minutes of the show, I just kind of recapped really what we talked about on last week with the mental and the spiritual of, you know, weaponizing our children and the importance of having them mentally ready. And especially in today's society, because it is more, it's not as physical now. Well, I kind of maybe need to back that up a little bit too, because it is physical now too, but not as openly physical as it was to our ancestors as far as the physical abuse goes. Yeah, they're still killing us, and nonetheless, we're still fighting for equality and fair treatment, and you know, yet to have gained that. And I mean, just like I was saying earlier about at that pig Tim Porter, who now is going to go to jail for murder, and I'm looking at how the Asian judge just more or less, it's like she damn near started crying. I finally watched the clip the other day, and it's like she damn near started crying because she didn't want to, like she didn't want to give her no time, and trying to give her accolades on top of that, you know. So, like I say, it's just situations where even when our kids do nothing, they still end up victims. You know, and that's nothing new. I spoke about the Central Park Five on last week, you know, and just use that case as an example of how they are so willing to just throw our children away. And that is exactly what happened in that Central Park Five case. You know, they took the lives of, you know, five boys. They were not even what I would consider a young man. I consider a young man somebody who is between the ages of, like, let's say 18 to 28. You know, that is 25, you know, something like that is what I consider a young man. And still a boy, a child, you know, and then these kids were teenagers, you know, and I mean children, all except for the one that was 17 years old, but nonetheless, you know, this system vilified those young men for nothing, nothing more than the labels that this society gave them. And see, they've always labeled us the physical ones, They've always said that we're the violent ones, we're the rapists. They've given us really their identity as far as the bad things, you know, the bad characteristics. They've labeled us with all of the characteristics and the things that they have done, you know, just like when the movie The Birth of a Nation, you know, where the whole movie was about labeling the black man the out of control, rapist, violent animal, and kill him, keep him away from our women. And honestly, I'm not saying this to be hurtful, but I just don't find anything attractive about white women. Nothing physically attracts me or turns me on about a white woman. And then when they hit 50, they kind of start looking like old white men. I'm sorry, but that's just me being truthful. But I digress. They've always tried to give us their physical characteristics, and we have never targeted white women as a whole collectively, and went out to hurt and rape women collectively. No, we've never done that as a black male people. We've done things. We're not perfect, but we're never the aggressors and the perpetrators of those types of evils. So physically, I think when I think physical aspects of this, we have to think health first. Because if the body is not physically able, the body is useless. And we have to give our young people, because the food we eat is honestly what's shortening our lives. And, yeah, we have to start giving our young people the health aspect of it as well. Just because we don't practice it collectively now doesn't mean that they can't take full advantage of it, you know, and kind of pull away from these poisons that we've been feeding our bodies for so long that is, you know, takes a toll and shortens lives. I was reading the other day where the average black male is lifespan is 67 point something years. And I was thinking, because I'm like, damn, I'm 52 now, so that leaves me like, you know, a good, 15 more years before I'm 67. And, you know, that's just something to think about, you know. So when I think about weaponizing our children physically, yeah, I think that health and what they eat and put into their body, and yeah, I know how hard it is to get a kid to eat vegetables and things like that that are good for them, but we do need to incorporate those types of things into our children's diet, and just think of creative ways that it can be done. And it's just a part of it. And I'm just sitting here as I'm saying that, thinking like how hard that would be, because I can remember being young and there were only, you know, fruits yeah, I mean, who doesn't like fruits? You know, apples, oranges, bananas, and peaches, plums, pears, and things like that. Watermelon, yeah. Cantaloupe, honeydew, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I chow down on that kind of stuff. And, yeah, most kids, you know, do. But it's the vegetables that, you know, also need to be incorporated. And, yeah, I know it's difficult, but with now the smoothies and blenders and, you know, being able to make different kind of smoothies, you can always incorporate healthy shakes and put, you know, the good greens in them, like spinach and, you know, the kale and all the good stuff that needs to be in it. We really do have to think health-wise. That is really the biggest part of, like I say, the physical weaponization is being physically fit, you know, and able-bodied. Is, you know, because a lot, like I say, just look at a lot of us now. We are hypertension, diabetes, you name it. You know, it touches someone that we know, you know, someone that's within our circle. Obesity, and like I say, that just comes with a lot of the things that we digest as a people collectively. I mean, hell, I've got high blood pressure myself, and I'm not a heavy set dude. I've always been a slender guy, about 175, but, you know, that doesn't always equate health. And honestly, I'm bad at this, and I hope that my son is better at it than I am, but I really don't like going to the doctor. It's like, it really has to be going down, and I have to be really hurting to go to a doctor. And that's proven a few times not to really work in my favor. A couple of times I almost left here behind being stubborn. So, yeah, those are other things, and especially for black men, as well as black women, because black women have been experimental subjects as well. That Dr. Sims, the one that is the father of gynecology, he experimented on black women. And, you know, all the things that are used now in gynecology would not exist had it not been for the suffering and pain of black women, you know. We can't forget about the systematic syphilis, Tuskegee Airmen, you know, the Tuskegee experiment, I mean, you know, where they gave black men syphilis, and that wasn't discovered until 1972. And if when I think about it, I'm like, wow, I was actually here. You know, a young grasshopper then, but, you know, when you think about it, 72, that's really not that long ago, 1972. And that's why I say, too, it's important that we start building and then using, allowing our children to use their talents for our benefit. And I always say, you know, especially here lately, I've been saying it, just because I noticed, which I knew it, but really noticed the crunch and what we don't have when this pandemic first hit and what we need to have. And we need our own hospitals and clinics and things where we can have our doctors and scientists working on things that are good for our body, the melanated body, the body that contains the six protons, electrons, and neutrons, because our DNA is different from other DNAs. We have elements in us that are found in the stars and in space. Think about that. Don't nobody else got that in their DNA makeup except for us. We are physically different. We are on different physically than other ethnicities. And we need to gain control of that as well. And like I say, physically, I'm talking about, I said health. And then I wouldn't even be right if I didn't talk about the need for our children to know how to shoot, know how to work a weapon. We need to teach our youth gun safety and all of that. Just like I see the videos of, I see them teaching their little daughters, young daughters, how to use guns and break them down and clean them and all that. And we as well need to teach our children that part of the game and to have respect for weaponry, because it's not a toy. It is a tool to be used in self-defense. And I'll say that because I'm sure most people thought I was going to come all out the woodwork, buck wild and sideways, like I sometimes do, talking about, yeah, we need to arm our kids up. And no, we need to arm them, true enough, but we need to teach them how to have a real respect for weapons, how to use them for protection and for hunting purposes. You know, and not hunting to extinct animals, just on a need basis. You don't have to kill everything till it's gone, and that's what's wrong now. Yeah, we got to get our kids trained on weapons as well. That's part of the physical aspect. And we cannot be ashamed to do that because, damn it, Uncle Sam, when he get a hold of them in his little stinking-ass army or whatever, Marines, he going to put a weapon in their hand and teach them how to use it and teach them how to point it and shoot to kill without regard. See, and what we can do at least in that aspect is teach them – even in war, there's still a certain respect for life. But when you have an open enemy, you have every right to defend yourself. And we have an open enemy here. So, yeah, we have to physically weaponize our children, literally. Teach them how to shoot. Teach them how to clean their gun. Make sure that it's always ready to fire. Because I got weapons, and my weapons, I always say this to my partners, my weapons are for racist white folk, them Trumpers. I'm not wasting ammunition, and they out here. And that's why we have got to be in preparation physically to fight and defend ourselves. Because that's one thing that we're missing. That's one key element that we're missing right now. And we're showing our children that it's okay to get shot and die and get a little money, march and protest. That's all we need to do. No, we need to really start teaching our children that this shit can change. All you got to do is get some of you and your partners together and really be about changing this shit and stand your ground. Don't be afraid to say what needs to be said or do what needs to be done. Because just like I just said, when the time comes for, oh, we seeing it right now, how they are slowly but surely sending more and more troops to that area over there where Ukraine and Russia is about to go down. See, and this country doesn't have a problem and never has problem sacrificing life. It doesn't matter. Old, young, black, white, blue, green. Yeah, this country, it doesn't mind. And we're seeing that right now. And see, these are young, able-bodied people that we need fighting for us, that we need defending our rights over here. But now they're getting ready to get shipped off over there to fight in a war that's not going to benefit them anything when they come back here. And like I've been saying, you know, this country will supply you with something that'll benefit you short-term, little quick short-term fixes like they did with the bullshit as stimulus checks when other countries that don't brag to be as high class as this country was giving their citizens like that much every week, you know, was giving them, they were giving their citizens enough to take care of their needs and feed themselves. And this country give you, what was it, two or three funky-ass $1,200 checks, and the world went crazy, and half the motherfuckers that got them, excuse my French, that got them, they was gone quicker than they got them. And then, too, I'm sitting thinking, $1,200, if you live in New York, California, Colorado, $1,200 ain't even half of your rent. So, I mean, the things that we allow to continue to happen, yeah, and then the things that should change, need to change. And like I say, physically, yes, we need to be deterring our children from going to these armies and navies and air forces and marines. I'm sorry, I know that we're here, but we need, like I say, those bodies, we need to give them options. We need to be providing them options and opportunity, because when you think about it, and I can remember, like, when I graduated in 1988. Who we? But when I graduated in 1988, a lot of my friends, and even I took the test to go to the Air Force, and I scored like a 93, 94, somewhere in there. And that recruiter was after me for like a whole year. Oh, we can do this, and with that score, you can go in, and within a year or two, you can be this and that and that and this. And I was straddling the fence. I was climbing over the fence. I was really leaning towards going. And then my girlfriend, rest her soul, at the time, got pregnant with my firstborn son, rest his soul. So I got a job, and I went to work, you know. And I, for the benefit purpose, yeah, you know, for the things that they do while you are they are mentally capable enough to get them to do it. Yeah, you know, the medical that you get and all this and that. Yeah, those kind of benefits, the tax freedom that you get from being an ex-military. I hate I didn't go because of those benefits, but I don't really hate that I didn't go because, yeah, there were a couple of, you know, small wars that jumped off nonetheless. Small or not, your life is still on the line. people are still going to be shooting at you. And like I say, you know, if we're going to be allowing this country to use our children like that, we should be giving our children the same culture and the same defensive mentality about self. And there's nothing wrong with that. If this country can take our children and turn them into killing machines for it, for them, that will not benefit them long term, believe you me, it will not benefit them or their children generationally. It's not going to, you know, generate any kind of generational wealth, but they put their physical body on the line for this country that really doesn't give a damn about the people and really sends soldiers to die. They don't send soldiers to defend and protect. They send soldiers to die. And this country always talks about depopulation. Bill Gates, that's his big thing. Nothing, but yeah, that's just his spiel, you know. So we've got to wise up, and we have got to realize and recognize too, y'all, our children are not expendable, and our children are just just as much as their children do to them. But see, unfortunately, we live in a society where they have never had to worry about their children. They have been fortunate enough to have a country that is about the protection for that complexion. And, you know, they ain't had to cry because some random black person just jumped in his and ran their son down the street like a damn wild hog or something and gunned him down in broad daylight. I don't know no white people that done had to shed a tear behind that. I don't know no white people that done had to shed a tear because they 12-year-old son was at a park under a closed-in gazebo playing with an air gun, and he's pointing it. That's an air gun. Yeah, he's going to point it. He's a 12-year-old child. See, but I don't know too many white parents who have had to shed a tear because their 12-year-old was killed in less than 2 seconds because some out-of-control punk-ass coward cop rolls up and shoots him. In my family, I don't know no white people who had they uncle roll up on by two punk-ass coward cops in Denver, Colorado, and then two punk-ass EMSs that was called to the scene helped restrain they uncle. And then when they get him to the hospital, he's in ICU unconscious, handcuffed to a bed with tubes all in him where they damn near beat him to death. And he died. My uncle died from the injuries. This was in 95. And this shit's still happening right now. I don't know too many white mothers whose son has been sitting at home minding his business, eating a bowl of ice cream, watching a football game, who done had a punk-ass cop kick his dough in and give him orders of what he need to be doing in his house, minding his business, but he shot dead anyway. See, I don't know too many white tears behind black actions. So I don't know when is it that we're going to recognize and understand that we have the ability to change this. And what we need to be doing is focusing on our children so that they can get to work. And what we're not able to figure out, maybe they'll be able to figure it out. Maybe they'll be able to make the adjustments and the changes to make the condition truly change. It's going to be one of these generations. Which one is going to be, nobody knows. But if the future generations are not prepared, then it really doesn't matter, because they have to be prepared, and it is up to us to make sure that they are thoroughly prepared mentally, spiritually, and physically. And like I said, yes, physically does include arming themselves and being proficient with a weapon. Our young men and our young women, and be prepared to defend themselves. Like I say, this country will send them off to fight, but we act like it's a crime of humanity to teach our children to stand up and fight against a crooked system that would rather have them gone, eliminated, eradicated, extinct. You know, the eugenics, the whole eugenics movement was about extincting black people because we were like weeds. So Margaret Sanger equivalated us to. Yeah, we were like weeds that needed to terminate it. And that is our children as well. Don't forget the lady. What was her name? I can't think of her name right now. But the lady, the sister back in the day, maybe her name will come to me. But I know the story where they had jailed her husband. And this lady went down to the jail and said, y'all need to let my husband go, blah, blah, blah. Y'all know he didn't do this. She was uppity, out of place. So they ended up taking her husband out of the jail. So the story goes, but hung him. Then they went and got her, hung her. She was pregnant. And then they cut the baby out of her stomach. And then when the baby fell on the bridge that they hung her from, they stomped the baby head. So, see, this is the savagery that we dealing with. So we got to prepare our children to deal with that savagery, because it hadn't changed. That part of their character has never changed, and I don't think it will ever change until we change it. And, yeah, it's going to take might against might, because they feel like as long as they have weapons, they can win. But we also have to, like I say, ready ourselves, prepare our children as well. Because in their preparation, their children are included in all of it. In all of it. I see I got a caller here who wants to get in. Okay. Let me just look back at the board. But, yeah, that is something that we have definitely got to we've got to prepare our children for that aspect of it as well. And this system is doing a magnificent job of desensitizing our children to violence. So we need to, like I said last week, help them to unlearn and then relearn a new culture and a new way to do things. Brother, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you jump in, and then call her 1092. I see you. I got you. And as soon as my brother gets through, I will open your mic and let you join in the conversation as well. And appreciate you for calling in, brother. Peace and welcome to the show.
Peace, my brother. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to be black on your show. I will say this about you, brother. You definitely know how to pull a Band-Aid off. And I know you know what I mean. Because the way you expose the situation that we're in, the way you, in your description, it feels like you're snatching a Band-Aid off. because you got to, right? It's got to be done. So, with that said, brother, again, thank you for taking my call, and I'll be brief. Also a great topic. And from the standpoint, I mean, from everything, all the knowledge that we shared and gained last week on the panel that we had, to this week, and I kind of want to harp on this the thing that you led with in your opening that stood out to me was discipline, and I want to agree with you 100% on that, don't get me wrong, I do agree with you 100%, but the aspect of real discipline, as you mentioned earlier, what the military will teach our sons and daughters, and you know I've got 3 children that are active duty now, so you know I know, and I'm a proud veteran, so I know all about that. However, mm-hmm. I digress. The discipline aspect is what's missing, and what you brought up also in your opening, in your first 40 minutes, I was listening, and staunchly, man, you said, when you said about the time when you were born in 69, so you saw, I'm born in 64, so, you know, we still contemporary.
Mm-hmm. We
saw the 70s and the 80s and the beginning of the crack era. Now, you said you graduated 88. I'm class 80. Mm-hmm. I'm class 82. Actually, I didn't even graduate high school. I got my GED, which stands for good enough diploma, in the middle of the Indian Ocean while I was active duty in the Navy. And I was in the middle of the Indian Ocean when I got my GED. So I would have graduated in 82. So with that said, in 82 was the ushering in of the crack era under the Reagan and Bush administration. And the crack and trap life destroyed and I'm not saying that those are the only things that contributed to the decay of the black family and the black family structure. I'm just saying that at that particular time, when you pointed out that before that, universally, we could go, you know, we still commiserated with each other. Even though we were going through all that hell, through all the heroin epidemic and the cocaine of the disco 70s and all that shit, we went through all that that you and I witnessed, it was nothing like the ushering of the crack era. And pre-crack era, there was still a semblance of unity in the black community. Mm-hmm. And I've used this as an example. Brother, you remember, and you're a driver, man. You travel. You know damn well you drive it down the road and you see a barbecue full of black folks, you know, in a park, you know, having a barbecue, a cookout. You know your black ass can stop and act like you were their cousin. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're not related, you know, you can still pop into that barbecue by virtue of the fact that you black, and it's okay. Because we are giving people, we are kind people, we love to share, if for no other reason, to brag about how good my cooking is, you know, for whatever reason. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, I'm just saying, at that time, you could still do that. You better not run. And we had that in the community. We still had that until Reagan and Bush brought in crack. We had that.
Yeah.
We had there was some measure of unity universally, at least nationwide. You know, I hadn't left the country before I was 17, so yeah. From what I saw, I'd been around the country a few times before I left for the Navy. But you know, you could go anywhere from D.C. to fucking Phoenix. I have family. And you go, but I'm just using that as an example. You can go anywhere and pop up, pull up to a black barbecue cookout and be good. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that measure of unity because we don't trust, for one reason, we don't trust each other. And it's part and parcel to the decay of the family structure, which really became, which really started to decay at a greater level once crack was installed, because then that, you know, then came the three strikes laws and all the Section 8 shit, the judicial factor and the incarceration degree and all spike and all that, you know, we're at that time there were a quarter million niggas in the penitentiary, and then by 1995 there's a million niggas in jail. Come on, man. That's all part and parcel to 1982. And the crack era, which is again part of the decay of the black family structure. You also, when you touched on the news sources that you trust, not the mainstream mindfuck media you're referring to. I know,
right?
And you included the BBC and NPR and I agree. I watch and I research with those news sources as well as other sources, but you know, it's good to be informed. It's really good to be informed. I also wanted to add. You said BBC and NPR, but I also wanted to add with an unbiased opinion, Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
I do subscribe to Al Jazeera and I have for years simply because of my Muslim background. Those are new sources that I trust, trust like I trust my tongue. you know, because you can only have so much trust. Even your teeth bite your own tongue sometimes. So, yeah, I trust those news sources. And I don't know, you brought up the, you also brought up that poor child that in Philadelphia, little Valencia. I can't mm-hmm. remember her first name either. That is tragic as fuck. And another example of how our children are defenseless and devalued, right? I'll give you another example, and this is heartbreaking. I don't know if you saw this, but do you see about the 5-year-old that was murdered in Detroit?
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Two teenage boys, a 15 and a 16-year-old.
Murdered, I guess,
a gang-banging daddy, baby mama.
Yeah.
And they were all sleeping.
Yeah. Gang style.
And they shot this baby in the face multiple times.
Yeah.
And I bring that up. It's heartbreaking, man. And again, you can attribute that to what you've been talking about all night. The lack of discipline, the lack of the installation, the lack of installation of moral and morals and ethics. No foundation, you know, no father around. Being exposed to terror, you know, being exposed, you're playing these, and I'm not gonna go there, but I'm going there. Fucking video games where life has no value, and these kids see the real world like they see these fucking video games. There, I said it. But I'm not blaming the video game industry. I don't want. Them coming at me with fucking lawsuits, fuck you. I'm not doing that. That wouldn't be the first time either. But you have to understand that what these children are exposed to, it's no wonder that they're acting so savagely. Because they got no home training. Because they got no structure. Because they got no discipline. And there's so many other things to attribute to what we need, what we're trying to fix. You know, you talked about this a couple of years ago, bro. Remember that two-part series you did a couple of years ago about family structure? I remember, bro. You had your finger on the pulse then, and wow, have things changed since then, huh? Seeing all these damn mass shootings, all these white kids shooting up shit all over the place. You're seeing all these military or former active duty or former active duty military shooting up shit, like you're talking about, trained people killing shit savagely. You got your finger on the pulse, bro. And again, not the more things change, the more things stay the same. And you said that 2 years ago, man. Not a lot has changed, but there's been quite a bit of change. I know that sounds oxymoronish, but you know what I'm talking about. And the one thing that hasn't changed is the value of black life. And I'm done. Thank you for your time, bro.
All right. I'm going to open up this microphone. Appreciate you, as always, brother. I'm going to open up 1092. I think I know who this is. and the microphone is yours. 1092. Peace, Queen, peace.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll talk to the
How
people.
Are you? Welcome.
Yeah, I was listening.
Talk to the people.
And it is interesting. It was so much. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like having a plate with all your favorite foods on it, and you don't know which one you want to start eating on, so you kind of mix them. I have to mix them together because I don't eat stuff one at a time anyway. I like the mixed flavors. But there
right,
was a lot
right
of things now that we touched on. And then plus, I listened to you for a while, and that's why the impression one, because it was just so good. You were just doing fine. So he called me, well, I don't need to be, because I'm listening. And, you know, and I think, you know, we're not doing enough of that anymore, you know, listening to each other. But it was so good. That's why I didn't press one. And I was into the stuff that you were touching on and what the brother was touching on after you, all the different things. You know, some I agree with, some I disagree with. It's a lot going on. It is most definitely a lot going on. I do suggest, and then as far as the GED, I have to throw mine out there too now. I got my GED. Now, I do have college degrees now. You know what I'm saying? Biological and physical science degrees, and I got a law degree. So, but I did get a GED, and I don't take that as less. That's the hardest test you could have possibly have taken compared to high school. You know, they kind of warned me about that when I decided to get mine at a younger age after I left school. You know, and it was like, do you want to go ahead? Because I was right at my 12th grade. But do you want to go ahead and mark and finish up? Because the GED is going to be harder because you're going to get all this stuff at once, and some of it you wouldn't even really have covered in school. So if you passed that GED, that was good. That was good. So don't downplay yourself. Don't downplay yourself. Because you still can go on. You know, some people think that they get that and they stop. They can't go no further. Yes, you can. If you want to,
right,
you can do what you want to. But when it comes to the children and training them, you know, getting on the physical, I think is important. I do. I swear for a while this kept going back and forth and back and forth because of my grandkids, you know, and my grandson now, he's 10. He's not my youngest no more, but, you know, the one that's around me all the time, he's 10. And I never talked to him about guns or nothing like that. And I have been watching. I watched them for years because I was into the prepping years ago before everybody got started, even with the movement, you know, itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching them train them little white kids. And I'm like, what are they training them? That's what made me start prepping. Because, first of all, they were prepping and they were training and they were getting things and getting bunkers and stuff like this and then training their kids. And I'm like, you know, okay, something's going on, and the white folks ain't telling us what's going on. They ain't going to tell us. We're just going to be like, it's going to be like surprise. But I didn't realize it at that time that it was targeting us. You know what I'm saying? Because I personally feel like, you know, we've come a longer way than that. You know, and a lot of people, that's, I think, what the problem is with a lot of our people. They think we've come so far until they personally experience it. They won't believe it until they experience, you know, and that's sad to say because even me being a daughter of a Panther, you know, that started the Panther thing just from the beginning, you know what I'm saying, I still didn't believe some of it till I actually experienced it, and that was on a job.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, for real? Are you serious, white lady? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you my boss. You know what I'm saying? You want to touch my hair. You give me a slave book. I could not believe it. I mean, she was making it clear to me who she was. And this is before things had started happening with the cops. All this sort of stuff started happening. I ended up suing them. I ended up suing them because, you know, you don't always have to put everything on the table about who you are, your credentials, and what you're capable of. But, you know, I did sue them because they were convinced because at the time I worked for the city government, that are they protected? You can't sue the city government. Who can? I graduated the top of my class. Yes, I can. I done figured out the loophole. You know, I think it's important because we do know stuff is going on. The ones who study in different areas and are really good in those areas should bring those back to the table. It's time to bring those back to the table now because we are tribal people. You know, we're tribal by nature. That's why we're so submissive and so kind to our oppressors, because we're tribal people. Because what is happening is we're taking our anger out on each other, but at the same time, we're taking our anger out on each other because they possess all the resources we need. Because we know if these people wanted to starve us out, freeze us out, sweat us out, they could shut it all down from a switch somewhere else outside of our house. You know what I'm saying? They could shut it all down. They could just decide and just say, you know what, that Queen Nikki, we tired of hearing her. We're going to go over there and shut it down. And I would have to fight and fight and fight, but it's the system itself. Even if people got out there and protest with me, it's the system itself. And it's like, well, turn that lady over. No, she ain't paid this. They can say anything. You know what I'm saying? And people believe it. That's why, you know, my last show that I did was on stereotypes. Like, we have to take those stereotypes off each other. You know, because we've had stereotypes put on us, but we feel the same way about each other that has been pressed on us so long and through different generations. Because it just wasn't one generation. This was passed on down. Our parents did it. Their parents did it to them. It was just passed on down. You know, so we stereotype each other. We already have set in our mind with our own people that we're criminals. That's all we're pushed. And you receiving that unconsciously. You're not consciously paying attention to it like, yeah, I think all our people are criminals, yada, yada. But yet you're watching certain stuff. You're like he said, the video games and all these things. You're taking this stuff in consistently. You know, people have to realize what consistency really does. If you can consistently drop a drop of water on one spot on concrete and then put a hole in it, you have to understand the power of consistency, because it's not the water drop. You know what I'm saying? We could drop water. I could go out there and drop some water now. But if you consistently dropping it on the same spot, it's going to put a hole in concrete. And you know that's rare. So if we focus in on being consistent on what we do, because like earlier today, somebody sent me, that's another reason why I wanted to listen to, because I like to balance my energy and shake off anything that I came in contact with. And, you know, somebody sent me this thing of this sister going off on live on somebody else in a party. I don't even know what particular party it is. And I don't know why they feel like, you know, the original Panthers or their Cubs or their grandchildren, their children, whatever, that we're going to come and fix up all this Panther stuff. We're not. First of all, it's too many sections of it all over the place. And, you know, you have so many that's starting their own things without, you know, dealing with nobody else in the party. So most of the time we don't know nothing about what's going on with stuff like that. You know, so I was surprised it was sent to me. But we don't know what's going on because we're actually doing work. We don't have time for that part. You know what I'm saying? Because you, brother, you know, our thing is about the kids. You know, I got some comrades down from my party, boots on the ground right now in Florida. We ain't none of us from Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, now I think we got two sisters down in Florida, but they ain't on that side of where she's at. But, you know, still fighting to help a sister get her children back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then when she got a hit back here in Kentucky, we help this sister get her children. We go on the third for her. Then we got a hit back in Ohio. We go up there on her. We usually call other people in when we need a protest. When we call for a protest, that's to bring the awareness, not no violence. Mm-hmm. Not no. That's why when we started out, it was a peaceful protest, and we had teddy bears. You know, you can't.
Right.
If you got a whole bunch of women out there with teddy bears, you know that they didn't come out there for no violence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These teddy bears represent
these
babies. You know, so you know they didn't come out there for no violence. So to see that and to see what's going on out here with our people, the key thing that she said that both of y'all had just touched on, and that's these damn drugs. These drugs have got, because people that I didn't even think were doing drugs are doing drugs, even in the movement. Like, the drugs is bad.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the one thing they put out there, because you know they're putting it out there, because that's just like fentanyl. Fentanyl showed up out of nowhere. That came from China. I do research on stuff. You know what I'm saying? I do research on stuff. That came from China. They sending it over here as muscle, that powder that you make your drinks with when you work out for your muscles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? They sending it in that form. And you know this country know what the hell that is. They know what that is.
Oh,
because
definitely.
They're the ones
most
that
definitely.
I researched and followed who followed where fentanyl came from. So they know, and it's real raw, and it's real deadly. If you take too much of it, you'll die. These people are dying. People are dying. I know some people that have died. If you don't take too much of it, but you keep doing it, they're losing their mind. They're not thinking. They're more reactionary. They're like junkies. It's worse than heroin.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, a lot of them is mixing it with heroin. So we got some serious problems going on when it comes to these drugs, and a lot of these young ones are doing drugs. All that stuff is through this music, through these games, all that. They encourage stuff. I had a big old thing where I was like, maybe we need to bring back, you know, a campaign for condoms. There's something going on. You know, I remember at one point, if he didn't have them, she did. You know what I'm saying? But now, don't nobody seem to be wearing condoms because – I followed where AIDS has started picking up again. Now we got a whole new variant of AIDS. And I find out there's songs that tell them not to wear condoms. And I was like, and they listening. That's the scary part. They listening. And it's all about what you said, Brother Melvin, that money, the stuff that our people are doing for money. You know what I'm saying? Because even with the TikTok and all that old stuff, I did one with my dog. Because I watched several of them. And I thought, TikTok has got a lot of y'all messed up, too, because it'll make you bipolar. One minute you're looking at something that's funny. The next minute you're looking at something that's so sad you couldn't believe that they put that on there. You know what I'm saying? And then you'll see them body. You know, have you crying and carrying on, your emotions all up and down, all over the place. Then they put something on there, have you mad. I'm like, what's going on? The only thing I did like was the pets. You know, and I did this TikTok with my dog one time. Where it says bark at your dog and see his reaction or something like that. So I like video stuff anyway. So I did that and I found out more and I did my research and I said, oh, this is why, because I couldn't figure out why a lot of our older people were doing some of the stuff they're doing. I'm like, why did you got your old self on there doing some stuff like this or doing this extra stuff or advertising yourself like you're a piece of meat? Because I see it as advertising because I'm behind the, I done went into the oppressor's house now. We all in their house.
Right.
We sitting all on their furniture. Yeah. We just ain't tore up nothing in their house. You know what I'm saying? Because we got judges sending us messages talking about we ain't scaring him. He's not intimidated by us or something. I was like, why is the judge sending a message? What kind of judge sends a message to an organization? I don't know. It ain't even my case. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't know you.
Right.
We know the situation. We know you have children that you should not have. We know you don't
have
proof.
They scared of you.
Abuse.
They scared of you, Queen. They scared of you.
So that's why I try to keep the right people around me. You know what I'm saying? Like mine.
Definitely.
I do believe in that discipline. I believe in that discipline on stay focused. You got to stay focused. Know what all is going on around you. Because I see we at war. We are at war. But we're at war with ourselves, too. We really are, and we got. I think at this point, everybody's done did all their different training. Everybody's done got their guns and all this old stuff. Some is doing it for show, you know, all the rhetoric and the propaganda. I see all that. You know what I'm saying? But at this point, what about the guns we still got in our community? You know that the ones are still killing each other. Like, we have to intervene with this drug thing that's going on. We have to declare a war on drugs in our community. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And that can get rough. That can get rough. But we deal with a lot of the former gangbangers and stuff like that, and we got ways of making them give back to the community, giving them something else to do. You know, this is the thing. They don't have nothing else to do. A lot of these organizations are coming together just to say, oh, they're a Panther Party, or they're this or they're that, you know. And it turns out, no, they just come together because they ain't got nothing to do. They thought they'd get involved with that part. But now they together, they don't know what to do. They don't got no programs.
Right.
They ain't getting out there helping nobody. They ain't saying no homeless. They ain't paying nobody's rent. they ain't did some of the stuff that you're supposed to be doing as a Panther. You know, you can't just call yourself a Panther and you ain't doing no Panther work. The Panthers do not play that. We really don't play that. And I just, you know, I go against that, or, you know, being that I'm a daughter of a legend. I know, it took my dad to pass away to realize, dang, my daddy was a legend. And especially after I found all the pictures and stuff and all the information.
Right.
And it's like, wow. Wow, I knew he was a Panther because he raised us like we was in the military. But at the same time, when you in it, you look at it more like abuse in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just really not trying to hear that. Daddy always trying to tell somebody what to do. You know what I'm saying? But not realizing he was preparing me for the future, especially as a female. Especially as a female, preparing me for the future. And we have, I'm there now. And I'm seeing what's going on, and they don't have nothing to do. So now they're doing drugs. The sister was on there telling everything, talking about they snorting cocaine and don't be coming for me and all this. So I'm like, and y'all calling yourself Panthers, like, that's not good. That is not good at all. It is
not
good. And this is why, and this is why a lot of people is not getting involved. This is why a lot of people is not doing donations.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Because, first of all, I wouldn't donate either. If I think it's a possibility that I'm supporting somebody's drug habit. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even do that for sales. Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know that either. So we have to take different methods. Unfortunately, we might have to get some resources from these white folks. But that don't mean let them in. That don't mean you got to bring them to the meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to bring them to the meeting.
Right.
And lie, because at the end of the day, the ones that really want to help and see what's going on, they ain't trying to come to the meeting anyway. They trying to throw you something. They want you to take it to the hood because they too scared to go anyway. That's it.
Right.
I'll get you these resources. I know where you can get it at. Or this one store does this, and at certain times of the year, they get rid of all this. You can go there. They'll tell you information where you can go, and you go get it. So most of them don't want to be, you know, actually in the community anyway unless they're already in there because, you know, they married to somebody or something like that. So they're intertwined with us. They are intertwined because we got a lot of biracial children. They are intertwined.
Oh,
but
no,
that
definitely,
does not mean that, that we have to separate and put down our culture. When you was talking about the culture, I had a white girl, I couldn't even get mad at, and I heard somebody else tell me it was said to them and done to them before too. But I could not get mad at her like I wanted to when she said, y'all don't have a culture. And it just hit me on such a level that I didn't get mad. I had to go with the facts. I had to go with the facts because...
Take to zero. That's sad.
Yeah, because we are all over the place now. If you look at it, we really don't have no culture no more. Then what y'all was talking about previous to more of our generation, it was coming out of it then, but it was still there. You did know the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You could go sit at somebody else's family reunion. You know what I'm saying? And be like, ooh, okay, it's smelling good over here. They'd be like, come on in here and get you a plate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do that.
Yeah.
Now you don't have that. That's one thing about the Panthers. You know, they're really about family, and it's about, you know, dealing with these hardships and the bread and butter issues, you know what I'm saying, that we have in our communities. But they're most definitely about family, and this year we finally going back to the Black family reunion, and that's where we have all Black people, because some Black people were bringing their whole families, actually having their family reunion at the Black family reunion. Because the park is so big, we have the live concert. I think the last one we did, they brung in Zapp. The rest of Zapp, because y'all know Roger had got killed and stuff, but the Zapp band.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, it was Bobby Brown and them. I met them. You know, it's the different people. I don't know if you heard of The Last Poet. We kicked it with them.
Yeah.
You know, the Panthers are still doing the work. They are still doing the work. I'm talking about they have buildings. They have summer camps for our children. They have programs for our
Black
children.
Where is the Black family reunion? Where does that take place?
It's
going to
be in Pittsburgh. It's going to be in Pittsburgh. It's in August. We do it in August.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get the information once we get our flyer and stuff together. I'll get the information.
You'll
be able to meet a lot of Panthers, original Panthers, a lot of the elders, you know. And, you know, I don't know if the Last Poets are going to be there this year, but them are some real strong, powerful brothers. And, you know, it's just about not sugarcoating nothing no more. You know, we got to stop putting sugar on shit. We really do, because this is bad. This is bad. This killing that's going on is bad. And this is not something that we should be sitting back saying, I knew they would. See, that's how they do us. That's not, no. It sounds okay because it ain't at your front door. It ain't your child yet. That's the problem. There's a yet with it. Because there's no particular black people or families that they're targeting. It's like, is this going to be my day?
Anybody.
Is it, we shouldn't have to go out like that. Is this going to be my day?
Yeah.
Is it, what, are my kids going to be safe? No. It's unacceptable. So we have to come together and stop it. We just have to stop it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? We ain't been negotiating with these attorneys and all this old stuff, and we've been bringing the right people on deck because, when, like the sisters that moves around the most, well, they're not social workers no more, but they used to be. They had been social workers over 10 years. They had to honestly come off because they seen what was being done to their people. So they couldn't. They quit.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? But they did not stop doing that work for their people. So now when we see these cases, they're investigators. That's all a social worker is. It's an investigator. If a social worker comes to you, an investigation has started. They didn't come to ask you about nothing other than to complete their investigation. Basically, there was already a crime to them, and they're getting your side of the story. So it's an investigation from the door. But so and they're educating. You know what I'm saying? They got a book now. They're educating people, our people, on how to deal with these situations. But that's not to say that some of our children should not be in some of these homes. But we would like to see more of our people being able to take them in their homes. You know what I'm saying? And not so quickly put them into these white homes. Because one thing we've learned throughout, you know, this past year is that they're quickly wanting to put them in sports and stuff like they see a money cow, you know, and change how they view us. You know, and they're really trying to change these children. You know, because we had some older children that once we got them back, they was talking about what was being done to them and what was being said to them. I was like, so they still brainwashing the children. They really tried to turn your kids against you and against their own blackness. So these things we got to put a stop to. We got to put a stop to these drugs. We got to start listening to how somebody talk. You can be honest with yourself. You damn near can tell if somebody crazy or not. This is from the conversation that they tend to have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because some of us is just passionate. You know what I'm saying? I'm a passionate person about the move. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm excited to actually see. I don't want to leave off of this with leaving no bad news type stuff that, like, our unity is not working. Yes, it is. Yes, it really is. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I have come together with like-minded people. I joined with these social workers because I got the law knowledge. And then I'm able to draw up the documents. Okay, you need a motion filed? I'll draw up the motion. Y'all take it down there, pay for it, and file it. So we do our own motions. You know what I'm saying? We getting these kids back, especially the ones that's not supposed to be gotten. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of situations. We investigate it. We look into it. We get the court records and the court papers and talk to the other lawyers and all this other stuff to make sure it's not a situation that these children are not safe in these homes because we don't want to put no children back, and then there we are. You know what I'm saying? But we fight the ones that we know that they should not be doing this with, and there's a lot of cases like that. It's so many y'all have no idea, but getting involved with that, because we always did a lot of stuff. We did the March on Washington for the sickle cell and stuff, but getting involved with that, it let me know how deep the rabbit hole goes. Because everybody got involved all of a sudden. The governor, you know, it's like all of a sudden the mayor, all of a sudden everybody's telling us what they cannot do. And I'm trying to get an understanding. I said, see, I'm the one you have to make it make sense with, because if there's nothing you can do in your position, why do we even vote for you to even have that position? I think now it's time for us to sit down with the city council, go from there and keep going higher up till we get to the Supreme Court if necessary to remove some of these positions where, because you can't do nothing anyway. You can't do nothing for the people. What's the purpose for your position? I'll be having them people so messed up and so mad. I didn't want to go that hard that soon without getting more people of my people around me. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't got no time to waste. You know, the years in front of me is shorter than the years behind me. Your girl's getting older. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no time to waste. But it's all about what you said, and I'm going to end it on this note. It's all about what you said, brother, about setting the example. These kids watch everything we do. So a lot of this stuff that these children are doing is behind these adults. Because if they're not doing it at home and you're not giving them attention that they need at home, they're going out in the streets, because you might not be doing drugs at home. You might not be doing all that extra stuff at home. But if you're not really paying no attention to these children at home and then they go out in these streets, they're going to go to the one who's paying attention to them. Well, a drug addict will pay attention to them because they've figured out other ways to get drugs, even if it's trafficking your child, even if it's trafficking your own child. So we have to pay attention to a lot of these things that's going on in our community and address some of those. And I'm going to end on that. I yield.
Already, I appreciate you. We have ran out of time, but I'm still running. It ain't kicked me off yet. But, yeah, I appreciate both of you and Mark's perspective. I'm thinking about probably setting up another broadcast for tomorrow night, feel like ranting about the situations that's been going on with these police. And then I kind of want to talk about the Ahmaud Arbery situation and those crackers that got what they deserved. Just really, I don't know, with my time winding down on this platform, and I'm going to be switching platforms, just trying to leave a little content here as well. But, yeah, tonight's show, good show. I appreciate, like I say, you two, Sister Nikki and Brother Mark, for your perspectives. I want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Like I say, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I don't do it for the money, for no fame, for no, you know, nothing other than to get the information out, to get us on one accord, because that's really what the objective should be, you know, pulling in one direction as opposed to creating a whirlpool. And I often say, you know, I haven't said it this show, but I'm about to throw it in. You know, we need each other out here. And I keep saying, you know, keep saying good morning, and we're going to start seeing each day just how much we need each other. And then I'm hoping with that it will lead us to start working together, because I still feel that when we truly start working together and start seeing the difference that's being made, more and more of us will get on board, because we can have new Tulsas, we can have new Slocums, we can have new Rosewoods, we can have all of that. And I've been saying this for a minute, I'm all with the gentrification, and I say that we all as black people need to start a movement and centralize ourselves and take back these states. And if we occupy them, we won't even have to fire a shot. White people will leave just because we're there. That's what they do. That's what they're doing now in these cities. They're gentrifying. They're segregating themselves. And that's why I say it's important that we start learning how to move in a way that's beneficial to us long term, because we're the intellectuals, we're the creators, we're the builders. And if we can do it for this capitalistic, unjust system, we damn sure should be able to do it for ourselves. And then if we're just to get the ball rolling, our children are to get the job done.
Yes.
So, with that being said, I'm going to close out tonight's show. I want to thank once again my callers for calling in and adding to the dialogue. I want to thank everybody for listening. And I think I am going to set up a show for tomorrow. And I'll make a flyer and an advertisement for it. I don't know if it'll be 2 hours, but just to kind of get a little bit of this off of my chest, I'm just tired of this unjust system. I've had enough, and I really want to change minds. That's what it's all about, changing minds to change the condition. And with that being said, like I always say in closing, it's time to plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. And I'm out. I love all you all, and I'll be back tomorrow night. Peace. I'm out.
Peace.
Peace, brother. Thank you. All power to people.
Peace.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.